Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 12:56 PM, that is Pacific Standard Time, and today is March 6th. And today we had quite a bit of variability in the performance of Wall Street. At one point, the S&P 500 was trading down to 2,367, closed out the day 10 points higher than that. In a pretty similar move then, if the S&P 500 rallied off its low, it meant that the yen, generally speaking, came off its high. And part of the reason that the yen had rallied earlier in the day was because of the North Korean missile launches into the sea near Japan. But by and large, this continues to represent an area where we can see that the yen has encountered resistance in the region of the trend mean, and there is ample scope for it to continue to weaken from here. When we look at the wider stock market, then what we are presented with is an environment where there are short-term overbought conditions on the S&P 500. And then because you have had some weakness coming in Wall Street, that has fed through into Europe. The dollar, though, remains quite firm, and that is most particularly the case against the euro and the pound. While the Turkish lira is the worst performing currency this year, the pound is the second worst performing currency. And then the dollar is actually the third worst. So despite the fact that we have had some recent strength in the dollar, it is not representative of a broad-based, very strong rally. Because we've already had a strong rally, and now we are in a period of time where the dollar has been weakening, and now that was for the first 2 months of the year, and we may be turning back to a point where the dollar is returning to a period of relative strength. And that was particularly the case against the Turkish lira, where last week the dollar posted a large upside key reversal. And of course, something that we have seen over in a number of occasions over the last 7 or 8 years has been that when currencies start to devalue, then we get very clear nominal price outperformance by their respective stock markets, whereas we don't get that same outperformance in currency adjusted terms. And that is certainly the case, for example, with the Turkish index. Because the dollar has been somewhat firmer, and then that is contributing to some of the relative weakness in the gold price. And gold prices today were down about $8. This is currently an equal size reaction to that which we saw at the end of January. But if it is going to rally, it would want to be getting about it. It is testing the region of the trend mean. Something that come to my attention today is if we look at the price of gold in pounds, and we look at something that perhaps we don't look at particularly often, but quite a few other technical analysts do. It is when you look at all three of the major moving averages, the 50, the 100, and the 200 moving average, then we are not that far away from potentially a golden cross in pounds. Now, either that suggests that the gold price is going to begin to outperform, or the pound is about to break down from what has been a pretty inert range. If we go back and look at the pound, it does represent a consistent downtrend, and we have not seen a break in the progression of lower rally highs. What we have seen is an unwinding of the oversold condition relative to the trend mean, but this is still a reasonably consistent downtrend, and that psychological 120 area has offered some support, but we need considerably more evidence of demand returning to dominance, and there is quite a lot of uncertainty with regard to both the pound and the euro, with so much political uncertainty on the horizon. And the fact that that uncertainty is largely predictable is something certainly that investors are taking note of. But nonetheless, perhaps the most important thing is again the nominal price performance of the FTSE, that it has held onto this advance, that it is sustaining a break upwards out of a 17-year range, and that this is indicative of a return to outperformance. The FTSE 100, of course, is loaded with the resources sector and the banking sector, but then quickly coming in third place are very large consumer-related shares. And then there was the news today that the UK is going to invest over £500 million in supporting the technology sector. So that is also helping to plot the course for what the UK hopes to achieve post-Brexit, and it if it can indeed commit to deregulation and a technology focus for the country, then that would be very welcome indeed. When we do look at the UK, the vast majority of big investors are probably not looking or concentrating on the FTSE. They're probably more likely to be looking at gilt yields, and they are currently in the region of the trend mean. We have seen in the last few days some evidence of resistance being encountered in the region of that 1.2% level, and this was a pretty impressive move here. So there is certainly potential for inflationary pressures to come to bear in the UK, not least because of the weakness of the currency. And that could put additional upward pressure on bond yields. One of the questions, and it is going to be a very large question for the UK, is if inflation does start to come through, and what is the Bank of England going to do? Because one of the particular or the peculiarities of the UK property market is that just about all mortgages are floating rate. You don't have the Pfandbrief like you do in Germany or Fannie and Freddie like you do in the US. So if and there is no doubt that property prices are expensive. So if we do get interest rates starting to rise, that does represent a challenge. When we take a step back and look a little bit wider, the Chinese are looking to they're still in stimulative mode, let's put it that way, and they are looking at adding almost the entire GDP of Germany in terms of fiscal stimulus this year. So that is still a major factor in terms of the fact that we have transitioned largely from monetary stimulus to fiscal stimulus, and it was really only the big question is to what extent and to how much are the USA and Europe and the UK going to fall in line with the fiscal stimulus that is already underway in places like Japan and China. The A-share market, and I continue to believe that this is an engineered rally, continues to advance in a moderate fashion. It is certainly not doing anything in a dynamic fashion, and it does continue to remain likely that if this progression of higher reaction lows and higher highs is going to continue, then we can anticipate that there will be a new high before we get the next pullback to test the progression of higher reaction lows. The H-share index is among the cheapest indices in the world in terms of its valuations, and it is coming back to test this 10,000 level. That represents the upper side of the underlying range, and it is a natural area where one might anticipate that some support might begin to come in. It is leading the leading Wall Street on the downside, and if Wall Street's reaction is limited to something that is reasonably shallow, similar to the last two reactions that it has posted, and I think we could even say three reactions it has posted, then that could be the catalyst for the H-share index to begin to find support. And we can certainly think of the Wall Street leash effect as being something that is still important, and perhaps increasingly important when we have so many I think, rather large events potentially occurring in the US. Everything from deregulation to streamlining of the tax code to cutting taxes. All of these things have got very clear potential to drive bull market conditions in the US. And that gives it this mantle of leadership. The other market I wanted to talk about was India, because it is still trading very close to that 9,000 level. It has been doing so in a, it's been this reaction has been very steady. It has been almost identical to the one that we saw in February. And these pauses, I think it is too much to say that they're reactions. They're nothing more than pauses that we've seen over the last 2 months have been really very shallow indeed. And this does look like an index that it is going to break on the upside. And Reliance Industries has already broken on the upside. And this is an emphatic breakout now. So, and considering how long it ranged for, how lengthy that progression of higher reaction lows has been, and now the fact that it is returning to a position of outperformance following what has been a very long hiatus is very positive indeed. And not only is Reliance the largest refiner in the country, but it is also the owner of the 4G network that was just being opened, and that does represent a significant growth opportunity. The other news story that caught my attention today was with regard to the Nigerian naira. They had a well, the economy is in a recession, despite the fact that oil prices rallied last year. The black market for the naira is trading at significantly above the official rate, so it is looking increasingly likely that there is going to be a devaluation there. That also helps to highlight that the focus of attention is back on large caps, and in a rising interest rate environment, it is these small illiquid markets that tend to get hit hardest as interest rates begin to rise. And when we go back and we looked at gilts, but we should probably also look at US Treasuries. This really is the most important market in the world right now. It is hovering here at 2.4889%. And that 2.5% has been a psychological area of resistance for the yield and a support for prices for the last few months. But it is looking increasingly likely that it is going to get taken out. And if it is taken out, well, that would raise the prospect that we are going to see the 3% level taken out. And that it's at that point that you start to see that bond yields are becoming competitive with the performance on stock markets and above 3% when we have a the potential for a headwind. So we have had an explosive breakout in stocks. So far, it is nothing more than another one, another little pause. But even the most powerful breakout from a well-defined range will eventually give way into a somewhat larger pullback and consolidation. And I think that that is increasingly evident, the, or inevitable, the larger the overextension relative to the trend mean that we get. The other market that I have been watching very closely is oil. And oil prices today are reasonably steady, but this is still an incredibly tight range. And we know that when the breakout comes, it is going to be emphatic and it is going to be surprising, but it has not happened yet, today at least. And with that, I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.